Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Overtime with Jonathan Peterlin coming up tonight. Make sure to stay tuned. But obviously, guys, it is a football Friday, an F off Friday. Oh, we're getting you ready for the ALDS as well. Gardo's Tigers. Might even get back to the Tito news from earlier today because we had a lot on that. But when we, we are back. Daryl Ryder joins us now. Courtesy.
Bear break into a break.
Easy. Courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Happy Friday, buddy.
Hey, Daryl.
And here I thought I was getting the segment off.
Yeah, Nick misled you there.
No, I'd actually like you to double the amount of work so I can do less work. How are we feeling about this game on Sunday in Washington, D.C. there, buddy?
Not all that great based on what we've seen to date. But if there's ever a Browns win out of the middle of nowhere, I would have to think it's going to be this one. You know, Jaden Daniels is off to a blistering start for the Commanders. This Browns team is certainly disappointed through the first 4 weeks. Problems tackling, offensively, you name it, they have problems there. So it's not going to be easy, but I guess if there's ever a game that the Browns could steal, it might as well be this one.
Speaking of different confidence levels in this team, Daryl, obviously Deshaun played his arguably one of his best, if not the best game in a Browns uniform last week. Do you feel comfortable that that was the start of him turning the corner, or is it still kind of a I need to see a lot more scenario?
I need to see more. I mean, he's had five possessions in the fourth quarter to win two football games, and they have come up empty. So, I mean, they didn't give this guy the contract they gave him and give up the draft picks that they gave up just so they can say, well, we almost had that one. Like, they brought him here to win those games, and he's not done it. So, you know, I'm kind of really no longer interested in the excuses. Just go out and get it done. I don't care what it takes. It's your job.
Is a holding penalty on the biggest play of the season, the best play of the season so far, is that an excuse?
Still had a chance to win the game, Nick. What happened on the fourth down? You know, like,
yeah, Nick,
you had four cracks with less than 2 minutes to play at the goal line there, and nothing good happened there. So, yes, it's true. Injuries have been a problem. Inopportune penalties have been a problem. But the bottom line, Nick, is they have had, in spite of all of that, they've had chances to win two football games and did not get it done. And that's the bottom line.
Daryl, James Hudson out. We heard whisperings of IR for him. So where does that leave
us? Well,
the
team says Kevin misspoke there. He was thinking of Alex Wright. So he did aggravate the shoulder injury. Not going to play this week. It sounds like they don't want to put him on IR type of a situation. And considering the tackle situation being what it is, I certainly can understand why. But so even though Kevin said in the press conference that he was going to go on IR, that apparently is not the case, according to the team.
So best guess, who starts at the tackle spots on Sunday?
I'm going to say DeJuan Jones at right tackle, and I'm going to go Jack Conklin at left tackle.
Okay.
Wait, so
is that because you think Jed's not going to be ready to go, or is that because you think they're – okay. I want a clarification because it'd be more interesting, obviously, if it was Jed was ready to go, but they just put Conklin there anyway.
I mean, Jed and Jack are both listed as questionable, but we know how that's gone in previous weeks. So, yeah. I fingers crossed that it's going to be Jack Conklin.
Before I ask you about what David Njoku can bring to the offense if he plays this weekend, I want to know what you thought of David Njoku's attire today.
I have so many thoughts on some things that are going on behind the scenes right now with, you know, us being in the locker room and stuff like that. It is what it is.
So now I'll ask the question, if he's able to play on Sunday, and I think there's certainly some signs that he should be ready to play on Sunday. What does that do? What does that mean for this offense that's obviously struggled to this point, and can he sort of help get this thing going in the right direction?
Yeah, he can block. It's the first thing they need.
Yeah.
I would have tied a tight end to DeJuan Jones's hip the last couple of weeks here, but yeah, of course he can help. They've certainly missed him the last couple of weeks. So it sounds like he's going to be healthy. Here's the thing. I don't think David would have talked today if he's not anticipating that he's going to play. He's officially questionable. He did say, hey, if they say I'm ready to go, I'm anxious to get out there and help my teammates. My gut tells me we'll see David Njoku on Sunday, barring some sort of a setback between now and then.
I mean, maybe he just really wanted to show everybody the outline of everything he's got. Who knows? Maybe he just felt a little lonely.
Well, here's the thing. All right, since you brought it up, Nick, I'll get into it. And I know, you know, fans don't really, you know, care too much about media and access and things like that. But it is a way that we are able to bring you content is via the locker room access. And I certainly respect and understand players uncomfortable with reporters in there while they're handling their business, changing clothes, heading to the shower, to and from the shower and stuff like that. That's all well and good. The Browns set up in the locker room a podium, though, that keeps the cameras away from lockers, okay? And yet we have players that still come to the podium in their underwear. They still come to the podium shirtless and things like that. So for me, the respect needs to go both ways. That's just how I feel about this, right? That is their house. We are guests in their house. That's the way I've always treated clubhouse and locker room access. We are guests in their home. We don't really want to be in there any longer than we absolutely have to be in there to do our jobs the right way. So and believe me, sometimes when they do that, come to the podium, it's 100% deliberately done. I know that for a fact. So, I just kind of feel like it goes both ways there. The respect needs to go both ways. If they don't want us in the locker room, then there needs to be a system to where we have access to the entire roster in some way, shape, or form, whether that is the locker room stays closed until the entire team is out of the shower and dressed and whatever, then we get our 45 minutes of access, or, you know, there's a waiting room that's built that every member of the team has to filter through so that we have access to them, or I don't know. My colleagues that handle it at the higher level with the Pro Football Writers, they're dealing with this on a national level, but we certainly heard what the NFLPA had to say today, and obviously, you know, it's in our best interest to fight for the access, but do it in a way that's respectful for everybody that's involved.
No minced words from Daryl Ryder, our Browns insider here at 92 to the Fan. Daryl, Nick and I have been tossing this around a couple times throughout the show. Who needs a win more over the weekend? The Guardians in game one of the ALDS against the Tigers or the Browns on Sunday against the Commanders?
The Browns? You kidding me? Browns lose Sunday, you might as well start gathering draft picks for next April.
Daryl, but
if the Guardians lose on Saturday, though, they got Scooble on Monday. I don't know.
It's still a five-game series.
Yeah, it's a big... By the same logic, there's 13 games. Well, sorry, 12 games after this one.
The two.
Yeah, and how many of those 12 games do the Browns have to win to qualify for the playoffs there, Nick?
They would have
at
to win
eight. Probably nine.
On top of the one they already have?
Yeah, nine to get to 10. They only have one. They got to win 9 of 12.
You can get in a 9 and 8, potentially.
Winning 9 of 12?
I don't know, but the point is they still have 12 games to go. And, by the way, you're guessing at 10, it could be 9. Boom.
No, it's going to be 10.
Okay, but...
9 is not getting them in. No, 9 is not getting them in. They're out of the conversation at 9 and 7.
No, not really, Daryl. 9 and 8 teams win and go to the playoffs every year. So you're speaking in absolutes when it's not an absolute situation.
Yes, I am speaking in absolutes, Nick.
Didn't the Steelers get in at 9-8 last year?
Well, I don't know.
About me. Give me the Spencer German treatment. No, that's how I treat him. No. So do we have a timetable on Chubb?
My best guess, there is no official timetable on him. obviously positive sign, practiced all 3 days this week. That's great. Keep in mind, this is kind of like a little bit of a training camp for him. So my timetable for him, Nick, is October 20th against the Cincinnati Bengals. That, for me, is that's when I think it would be best to put him on the field. I don't want them rushing him back, and I'm not saying that they are. Nick, obviously, is anxious to get back, but my timetable, I have circled October 20th. We'll see if it's earlier.
I just want what's best for him.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Uh-huh.
It was funny. I was going to see who broke first, and it was Spencer. That was between you and me, fella. All right. So when it comes to what you heard in the locker room today, Miles talked about tired of getting her teeth kicked in. Greg Newsom gave the, it's only four games. We got 13 games to go.
Right.
But, you know, Miles said that that they had addressed the communication, some of the issues that they had had. Do we know what they did to clear up the communication issues?
No, and they also said that they addressed the tackling, but they don't tackle in practice. So I guess they use the tackling dummies or the tackling pads that they have to do it. So we're going to find out on Sunday what's been fixed, because for the last, 28 years, I've heard teams tell me that things have been fixed in practice, and then game days come and we figure out, oh, gee, what do you know? Nothing's been fixed. So we'll see what actually got fixed come Sunday in Washington. But, Miles Garrett kind of echoing what Jim Schwartz mentioned yesterday. You know, hey, we shouldn't have our teeth kicked in before we wake up and decide to play some football. So, and can't blame the offense for the slow starts, because the Browns have scored 24 points on their opening possessions this year. The problem is I think they've scored like 30 points on the remaining 48 or so, and that's a little bit of an issue.
Daryl, if this thing continues to go south, how early would the Browns consider potentially trading Amari Cooper, or is he here through the end of the season no matter what?
Well, I think that you got to give it, even though I personally think it's over if they lose Sunday, I think you've got to just honestly give it until, I would say, the end of the month after the, I think it's the Ravens that come in October 27th there. I would say after that game, you see where they're at. And then if it's not good, then you start moving pieces and parts that you don't have in your future for 2025 and beyond for those draft picks so that you can position yourself to really have a big draft class next year and really infuse this organization with some youth, because they went from one of the youngest rosters in the NFL a couple of years ago. Now they're one of the oldest and most expensive rosters. And if they're not performing, then I think Andrew Berry has a little bit of a fiduciary duty there to look to 2025 and position them to be able to have an extremely productive offseason and, again, infuse this roster with some youth.
Daryl, enchanting stuff as always, friend, and enjoy the weekend.
You too, guys.
Thanks, Daryl.
Daryl Ryder there, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Always a ray of sunshine. When we come back to the Browns and the importance of this game on Sunday for your Cleveland Browns on 92.3 The Fan. Apparently, the Browns have to go, win every game from here. I'm just not going to let. He was in a little pissy mood. I'm not letting him do it. It's a Friday. It's an F-off Friday. It's a football Friday. I have no idea what to expect from the Cleveland Browns on Sunday, but I'm going into the weekend with an open mind, and now it's time for them to prove it.
Daryl was right, by the way. The Steelers had 10 wins last year.
Last year, there have been...
I still agree that 9 wins could get you in. I was just saying, I thought that was a good counterpoint in your favor. I'm just walking it back now and being like, I was wrong. I missed on that one. Daryl was right. My bad.
No, let's not give Daryl any credit, I would say. it's interesting, man. We were thinking about this before the show, and we're talking about the kind of importance of this game, and I got to say, I think this game is – I think I kind of went into this saying, like, it's an important game for the defense, and it is. I think it's another really important game for Deshaun. Because
I feel like every game is an important game for
Deshaun. Well, yeah, I understand
because
it.
Because of, like, where he's come from, where people think he is, and where he's supposed to be.
Well, like, but I think, like, in Daryl's answer about Deshaun, Deshaun had a really good game on Sunday. And for some reason, Daryl's stuck on excuses. And again, Daryl, to me, I think symbolizes a fair amount of people out there who think when you say, guys, if you throw...
You got to finish the drive at the end of the game, yeah.
Well, but I mean, at the same point, well, but if you throw in the touchdown, that's 240 yards and two touchdowns. That's a hell of a performance. I think Daryl is amongst the people that you better just go out there and you better have a 250-yard pristine performance. And I think it's not even because of anything other. The reason why this is a big game for Deshaun, in my opinion, is every time we've seen him have a game we classify as a good game, there's been a step back. Right? Tennessee, great game.
They didn't play.
Then he doesn't play. And then we didn't see him until the Indianapolis game, disastrous, two series out. Then he has the Arizona game. And then, in fairness, he followed up with a really great second half against Baltimore. Then a shoulder injury, he's done. You know, he had a good game. I would say it's good.
It hasn't been consistent, is the thing.
Well, I mean, he just hasn't followed up one really good game with another. And I know linear progress is a tough sell because that's not usually how football works. I think with Deshaun, if we were right that he did play well and better than the numbers suggest on Sunday, I think this Sunday is a great indication of that.
Yeah, that's why I kind of believe like this is a good opportunity for him to do that as well, and why he's important to this matchup, because Washington's defense is not very good. And to your point, like why this game matters for Deshaun especially, if the defense is poor again, like if the defense can't tackle anybody, they're missing guys left and right, Austin Eckler's just running it down your throat and Washington's putting up a bunch of points, guess who it's going to fall back on to keep you in that game, dig you out of a deficit or a hole, and get into some sort of shootout with this rookie quarterback, Jayden Daniels? It's going to be Deshaun. So, yeah, like the fallback is always that. I gave you all these reasons earlier about why I have like a feeling about this game going differently, and a lot of it centered around the idea that the defense is good still enough to disrupt things, if their pass rush is really on that day, make life hard for Jayden Daniels. But if they don't do that, then, yeah, like it falls on Deshaun to lead this offense and get into almost like they won that game against the Bengals. I think it was like 38-34, 38-35. Like, make it a shootout type performance. And if he can do something like that, like that's what people are looking for. Where, and I know there's always going to be people who are ready to just pounce and say, well, Deshaun didn't do enough. But, like, yeah, like it, the fallback plan is always, well, if Deshaun does this, because we are supposed to have a quarterback, then it erases a lot of the problems that you have. And I do think that's part of the conversation here too. Like, if the Browns had won some of these games because Deshaun had a game-winning drive at the end of them, we don't care so much about the defense missing tackles. We'll bring it up. We'll say it's a problem. But if they're sitting here at 3-1 and Deshaun led a couple game-winning drives, we feel a lot better about this team. It's just the crazy power of the quarterback.
So I agree with a lot of what you're saying. What's crazy is he did lead a game-winning drive. He did. He put 7 on the board. He was called back. Like,
at the end of the game where you're still... I mean, like, the circumstances played out the way that they did, and then fourth quarter against the Giants or fourth quarter against the Raiders, he leads that drive. I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, that's the thing that people are looking for, is, like, in that crunch time moment, can you deliver despite everything that happened beforehand?
Well, but that touchdown was what? With two possessions to go, technically, in hindsight?
Yeah,
it was the second to last possession?
Early fourth quarter. There was, like, 10:28 left.
And so the reason... And not trying to argue with you. I'm actually more trying to point out...
We agree.
Like, I'm trying to more point out that, like... He did the thing that we want him to do, but because it didn't count, we're still looking for that. Yeah. And until he does do that, it's just going to lead to more and more, you know, like I think it's so funny, man. Like it really is. It's not a play. Because if you lose, even if you play incredibly well, you put up 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, you have a great game, but you lose, it's going to be the last play that you didn't score on the people I'm going to be talking about, because that's the way it's going for three. what, the last 2 weeks.
One is you bring up some of the reasons why things didn't play out, and he did lead technically led that drive last week in the fourth quarter. Like, here's the other thing in that game from last week. He potentially leads you on a drive, like a crunch time drive to tie the game in the closing minute if simply Dustin Hopkins hits a PAT, right? Like, that they were in field goal range at the very least. Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe he could miss the field goal and then it doesn't matter. But like, are we even having the conversation about that play if he gets you in field goal range and he hits the field goal, ties it, go to overtime and win or whatever?
But would Kevin have taken the field goal? We don't know.
Not if it was from 50. Not if it was, if it's 56, yes. But if it's 57 or 58, no.
All right.
Out of range.
We split the difference. Good for them. But no.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was weird too, by the way.
Yeah.
That whole scene, and I heard Bubba Ventrone talked about it yesterday. I was in Berea for that. And I get what he's saying, because it was the same thing I said on Twitter. I was like, I guess Kevin Stefanski's worried that if he misses this, he gives him a short field with like a minute 30 or whatever it was to go before the half, and you don't want to risk that. But like,
what an indictment on the defense, by the way.
He hit from 56. Like, well, it's an indictment on Dustin Hopkins, too, because it's like, yeah, we trusted you from 2 yards closer, but two more yards, that's the limit. And it's an indictment on the defense that apparently you're supposed to be able to still put trust in. I don't know. That for a guy who's willing to go for it on fourth down and willing to run Elijah Moore reverse plays into oblivion, how do you not have some faith in your kicker there to like take the chance and make that happen and then trust your defense?
I was pretty frustrated and furious with Kevin for not taking the 3 points there, both at the moment and on the show on Monday. The little bit of grace I'm going to give him is I don't think he has any feel right now because he doesn't know what to trust.
But that's the problem. That's the thing that showed me, though, was like we asked Kevin Stefanski all the time about using analytics versus the feel of the game, and his answer is always the same. I asked him about this a couple weeks ago, and his answer was, well, analytics are a tool. It's not supposed to be that we have our head in the sheet and we can't get out of the clouds of like what the analytics are telling us. It's just a tool to help us be more successful. Okay, but that means that you should have, opposing that, some feel. And in a moment like that, it just makes me feel like, among all the other times where we feel like he doesn't have a feel for the game because he goes for it in a weird situation or he just doesn't, he gets something wrong in a decision that maybe he shouldn't make, that just added to this idea that Kevin Stefanski just doesn't have feel. Like, that was just a bad look all around for him. I don't mean to like belabor something that obviously was a week ago and doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things now that we're talking about week five, but it was just, that came up again today. I know the morning show talked about it a little bit because of what Bubba said yesterday, and it just reopened the wound of like why I was so frustrated by that.
Well, I got to say, what I like about this is that Bubba and Kevin were both wrong. So like,
we were on the same page. Right.
I think all Cleveland was right. I think everybody thought they should have taken that field goal. Amongst other things that happened, 216-474-0092. So I think this game is most important for Deshaun to keep that. I don't want to call it momentum because you did lose. Like, I do understand that, but in terms of his play, keep your eyes downfield. Yeah. Keep making plays. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged because ticky tack stuff's happened around you.
We'll finally feel like there's some consistency.
Yeah, like I'll be honest with you. I don't know anybody needs a breakout game in like a no BS, that's what that looks like, that's why you traded for him game across the NFL, in that locker room, across sports, than Deshaun Watson on Sunday. And again, it's from a positive. It's not from a negative. A lot of our thing is, well, Deshaun's going to have this game because he sucks and they suck and everything. No. It's from a positive. That's a great stepping stone. But we can't keep doing this two steps forward, one step back with his performance. So I think it's Deshaun. When you look at this, what Browns player has the most on the line on Sunday?
I mean, I think the answer is Deshaun. But I mean, on some level, I think the obvious answer is Deshaun. But I actually am going to lean into the idea that it's Amari Cooper because of because of the question that we asked Daryl at the end there of this idea that how long do they wait to potentially try to move him if this losing continues and they fall to 1-4, they fall to 1-5, when do they almost throw in the towel on this idea that like, well, maybe we do need to start thinking about 2025. We got to get younger at this position. We know he's already been shopped around based on what was reported during training camp. So, yeah, maybe those two things go hand in hand because Deshaun impacts how Amari plays. He has to give him the ball. Amari impacts Deshaun's stat line, as we saw this past week, literally. But I think the answer is Amari, because Deshaun's here, and he's going to have more opportunities to continue to prove this, even though each game it feels like has this a massive weight on his shoulders for him, because we look at him in this magnifying glass and this microscope, and so many people are looking at him as this what he's supposed to be, even though he hasn't been. But with Amari, it's like, if he doesn't start playing better, there's a real conversation to be had about when he gets traded, if he gets traded, if he's on this team the rest of the season, if that's symbolic of throwing in the towel on things, and you know what that position looks like moving forward as well.
216-474-0092. Which Browns player is Sunday most important for? Let's go Mike in Stowe. How would you answer that question? Which Browns player is Sunday most important for?
You know, I'm just not buying into the sour grapes. I mentioned, I think I called it a couple nights ago about, you know, Amari. He's just got a man up about it, and that's all there is to it. So I'm going with Deshaun, because I feel like if he goes out and puts up another good game with so much going on around this team that's got so many other problems, including, like, play calling. Please don't put Deshaun on fourth and one anymore. He's got a really nice, soft shoulder. Please don't do that. But, you know, I think if he can put a little separation, create a little bit of more comfort, he just, you know, maybe take the pressure off him, he might really start to loosen up and, you know, start winging that ball a little bit more. But, you know, if we don't get him protection, ultimately, he's only got so long to do what he can do. And that is the truth of it. I'm going to Deshaun mainly because I think he can start to put a little space between him and the criticism of not being judged under the microscope so much every week, guys.
Mike, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend. Go Guards, go Browns.
Yeah, you got it. Double wins. We got it. We're going 3-0. Let's do it.
Double dubs.
Let's do it. There's only two games. But unless he's talking Ohio State, and then we'll go 3-0.
Triple dubs.
I do think that idea, you know, so much of what I've said about Deshaun is, one, the game on Sunday, if you came into the season thinking Deshaun wasn't good enough, that game on Sunday is not going to be the game that changes your mind. But I don't think it happens overnight. I don't think it's like one good game and all of a sudden people change their tune. What I do think can happen is that game, that Vegas game can be that first step. This can be the next step, but I think for people to really start to buy into Deshaun, I think why this is important is it's going to take several games in a row. And
But here's part of the problem, though, Nick. Like, people can't even agree on if last week was a good performance or not.
That's what I mean. I don't want to say it's so defensive. Important to have a great game.
Right, no, I agree with you, but I just don't know where, like, I don't even know, I don't want to come off of, like, defensive as Deshaun, but it's like, I want to know what the bar actually is. Like, is it 350 yards and 4 touchdowns and no interceptions? Because, like, you don't have to have that stat line on a weekly basis to be a great quarterback in this league. But, like, if we can't even agree as a fan base of, like, what a good performance looks like, because last week was a good performance by Deshaun. I think from start to finish, it was probably his best, if not second best, performance from, like, first quarter to fourth quarter in a game that he's played as a Brown. But people can't even agree on that at this point, and that's what's frustrating. So I do agree with you. But it's just like, if we can't even agree on what a good performance looks like, how can we say he's stacking him in a row? People are going to look back and be like, well, this week was good, but last week, no, it still wasn't that good.
216-474-0092. Which Browns player is Sunday most important for? Any non-Deshaun submissions out there? We got predictions, goodbyes. And go see yourselves next on 92.3 The Fan.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com